Hello and welcome to my show, Could You Be More Specific? I'm your host, Jonathan Steele, coming to you by the way of the Stay Well Podcast. And on this episode of Could You Be More Specific, I'm going to title it Memorable Debut, and I'm going to touch on the Lakers home opener and all the things that took place with the home game that took place. It was a really good game. Obviously, you know, it had a lot of more things to it, and especially in regards to the brawl that happened in between Rondo and Chris Paul. So I'm going to touch on that a bit. I'm also going to touch on Eric Reed recently. And I know he just played a recent game against the Eagles and his exchange with Malcolm Jenkins. And whether or not can you be brothers of the same cause, but you have two different opposing views on how to do it, which we've always talked about that, but I'll address that. But I'm going to start with the Laker home opener against the Rockets now. Obviously, it was a lot of buzz in the city, not just off of it being a home debut of LeBron being with the Lakers. You still had Drake and Amigos performing at the Forum, so it was a lot of energy just for LA in general on Saturday. So already going into that game, you're already looking forward to it because not just because of the home debut, but because Houston's a really good team. You know, Carmelo's now on the Rockets now, so you have two of LeBron's close friends that play on the Rockets as an opponent. So it's going to be an interesting game. So the game overall was pretty tight. And LeBron's been playing good. He's been playing really well. He does seem like he's just playing kind of like at a cruise control right now, because I think mainly what he wants is to see some of these young guys really pop off. So when I keep hearing Laker fans kind of complain about, well, why isn't LeBron trying to take over games? It's like, no, this ain't Cleveland from last year. Last year was it for him in Cleveland. He signed a 4-year deal. 3 years, really, because he has an opt-out. But there is no rush for him to try and take over a season and do what he did last year. That was really for the fans of Cleveland. In L.A., he's going to be here. I can understand if it was a 1+1 deal he did and say Paul George had signed here, then I could see maybe a sense of urgency, but not really, because it's the first few games of the season. You know, people need to calm down. But yeah, he played a really good game overall. There was a lot of signs in the game that it was kind of heading toward where it was heading before they got into the fight, just because, you know, I know James Ennis for the Rockets, you know, clothesline Josh Hart. He made no play on the ball. The Lakers felt like he should have been ejected based off the rule. If you don't make a play on the ball and you go above someone's neck, that's an automatic ejection. So it really doesn't matter if you didn't intentionally try and do it. The fact is, he should have been ejected from that game. And I think that was one of the signs there already between the Lakers and the Rockets that was starting to get there. And that's when officials kind of got to be smart and have an awareness when that stuff is starting to happen, because you guys are creating this climate like this is acceptable. Because, you know, even before you get to the Chris Paul Rondo fight, Chris Paul had multiple plays where he drops his elbow. He got an and one, and then he got another basket on him. I don't think it was a foul call on that, but then he flexed on Rondo. So he had already had two incidents where he's kind of been poking at him. And seeing as they have a prior history of, one, not liking each other, and two, they've gotten into a physical thing with each other before. Well, then if you're Chris Paul, before you even get to that fight, you two should not be nowhere near each other. And I'm not condoning Rondo spitting on him. I don't think you spitting on someone is cool at all. But again, one of the things I want to talk about is always that it's always context and nuance to everything. And even when people are like, well, that's inexcusable. Well, it's like this. If you have a personal situation with someone where you guys have already come to blows before and it's known that you two don't like each other, well, when a fight breaks out, the last thing that needs to happen is the person you've been in a fight with to be within 5 to 10 feet of you. And then they're still talking. And I get it. I've seen Rondo pick fights before. But in this Chris Paul exchange here, this was instigated by Chris Paul. And it's not a good look, because he's the president of the Players Association. And that's another thing people got to look at. And as great as he is off the floor, and I know he's well liked, it's always been a growing sentiment of a lot of players not really liking Chris Paul and playing against him. And, you know, hey, I've been real critical of Steph Curry and his playing style before, and rightfully so, because I do think a lot of times he gets away with a lot of stuff of being able to be cocky, because if it's other players, I've seen commentators and people rip them, but they think it's fun when Steph Curry does it. And it's this picking and choosing thing that we do all the time. But in regards to Chris Paul, he instigated this whole thing. Did it need to go to where it went to, where the spit comes? No. But you can see this all coming, and especially for James Harden, who, yes, he's a great player, but this whole Eurostep thing, which is glorified traveling that we've initiated in the game, which is fine, but when you can do a Eurostep travel, drop an elbow, and then get a foul, and then you want an and one on top of that, it doesn't make, you know, if you're Brandon Ingram and he had did that to you prior throughout that game, it's already been building. So I don't know why commentators be acting so surprised. And I know Mike Breen and Van Gundy will call it and Mark Jackson will call it. Mike Breen's trying to be neutral, but it's like, hey, you guys can see this coming in this game. It's not shocking that they got into that fight and you knew it was coming. You know, so, and I knew for someone like LeBron, people are making a big deal out of him grabbing Chris Paul and that's his friend. Well, what do you guys want LeBron to do? Get thrown out the game too? Well, you want him to physically fight Chris? And then he gets ejected and then we miss him for games? You want that too? He did what he was supposed to do. He stayed calm. You know why? Because LeBron is the face of the league. Oh, by the way, he's also the vice president of the Players Association. Because if I'm the rest of the guys in the league and Chris Paul's who represents me, that's not a good look that your player president is getting suspended for two games. It's not. And you can say like, hey, well, you know, it's just being a competitor. It's like, no. When he took on that title, he was forfeiting a lot of that. He really was. So that's something that Chris should have really thought about, because he had been poking at him throughout that game. But Chris has been known to do that kind of stuff. And I love Chris Paul as a point guard. I think he's one of the best players of this generation. I don't think he needs a championship to define him or not. It would have been nice if the Rockets had been able to had him for those final two games, because I actually do believe that the Rockets would have beat the Warriors. And people's like, oh, well, the Warriors were just playing. Like, no. When you hold a team multiple times under 100 points and you beat them in those games, that's not by accident. That's a trend. That means you know how to go at this team. And I think Chris Paul would have been a huge lift for them. But in regards to this, to the Lakers and what happened in the fight last night, you can kind of see that it was kind of building up to that point. As far as Brandon Ingram goes, I do think for him as a young player, I know he got suspended for four games. I think it's going to be a big thing for the rest of his teammates. Because, you know, the fact that it's one of the quieter guys on your team and he got into this type of altercation, like, yeah, you're going to miss it for four games and you don't want that. But when he comes back, the way he's going to be viewed by the rest of them is completely different from how you think most players would be after that situation. So you don't want to condone fighting, but it's something that on teams when that happens, it can bring guys closer. So I'm not advocating for that, but that's just the reality of team sports, because when you guys are playing, you really all each other have. So I think it's going to be interesting to kind of see how things shake out with the Lakers as the season goes on and with some of these guys. But it was definitely an entertaining game. Lonzo Ball, ironically, had a really, really good game. And I know a lot of people are kind of shocked by that, but, you know, he had a good solid year last year, and I think he'll probably put together another good to solid year this year. And, you know, I'm not expecting him to become a superstar player overnight. So, but those are some of the thoughts I had about the Lakers game. I'll probably end up following up on that real soon. I'm going to transition now into Eric Reed. I know this is like, I think his third game now with the Panthers. Yeah, I believe third game. And they played the Eagles, and one of the things that they're talking about, they did come out with the win, but one of the most talked about stories of it is Eric Reed getting into it with Malcolm Jenkins before the game started. Now, I know they had issues even prior because of the fact that Malcolm Jenkins and Anquan Boldin and it's a couple of the guys that are part of the Players Coalition, and it's where they try to do a partnership with the league where they helped them on fighting issues, you know, inside, but that helped issues in the community in regards to, you know, criminal justice reform and just other community service acts of that range. But I think from Eric Reed's standpoint, I remember when that was initially happening, he felt like Malcolm and those guys co-opted the message that him and Kaepernick were really talking about, and they did a deal with the owners, and a lot of those things are not really ultimately being addressed. So they already had a tension and already had a hostility toward each other based off of that. Or really, at least I can't really say for sure from Malcolm. I'll say more so from Eric, because Eric did call Malcolm a sellout. Now, when I say before, can we be have two different views of how to address a problem, but we're on the same side? Malcolm looks at like, hey, you need allies. That's Malcolm Jenkins' point of view. It's like, hey, if we want people to address our issues, that's fine. We created a group to address this issue, and with partnering with them, let's see if we can make these changes, right? So on face value, that does sound reasonable. But we've seen things, to be in fairness to Eric, where there's a lot of lip service paid to that. And a lot of times they don't address those issues. And so if you're Eric, you know, that's where his anger probably comes in at towards Malcolm. And obviously there's probably more details on this internally that we don't know yet from a public standpoint. But I don't think it's necessarily out of thin air that Eric Reed feels a certain way towards him. I can't really necessarily jump to some of the stuff that he called him outright, but Malcolm has been vocal on a lot of the issues that have been happening in our country, that's been happening in our community. I think he does have different ideas about how to go about that versus what Colin and Eric have. And so for me, I've always been hesitant to say that, because one of the greatest, obviously, you know, different ideas in terms of how we go about things is Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, not to compare those two to them. But, you know, the mindset of I want to help us, but this is how I feel like we should help us. But if you feel that way, but the other person that wants to help us doesn't feel that way, well, OK, you guys don't agree on some of the methods, but you're on the same page of what you guys ultimately want to do. I think that's something that a lot of times we got to kind of keep in mind. Now, I think the most active I've seen, and I have to probably look it back up, is probably, I know they showed a story with Devin McCourty from the New England Patriots, who's been one of the members who's been really vocal on wanting to do criminal justice reform. And I know he was working with Jonathan Kraft, which is Robert Kraft's son, on how do we address, you know, reforms on bail, on addressing bail reform, as well as, you know, nonviolent crimes. So that I remember I watched the story on that, and they were covering that. I know Robert Kraft has been pretty vocal about wanting to address criminal justice reform because of the relationship with Meek Mill now. I haven't seen any further details or updates on that. And like a lot of things get done mostly behind the scenes when you're not doing things publicly. So I want to be fair on that. I do think it's kind of interesting, though, that we continue to have this dialogue, especially in the Black community, because I think it's beneficial to help us. And we just got to realize, like a lot of people got to realize, is that, you know, we can all have different methods and ideas on things. It doesn't necessarily make someone bad or good. It just means that you have a different view on it. So I think we got to keep that in mind when we start looking at how we're going to build and partner together to try and make things better, not just for us as individuals, but as a community. So those are some of the thoughts I had on those topics. I'll probably address probably the Eric Reed one probably a little bit further in the future, because obviously his career in the NFL is, you know, ongoing with, you know, the amount of games that he's going to be playing. So, but I'll definitely follow up on that. I want to thank D for all the work that he's been doing on his show. We're going to be doing some more things in the future that we got working. Definitely support us and become a patron. Definitely support us on that. Definitely look for D on his shows. I want to thank all you guys for continuing to listen to Pod and supporting us for as long as you have been. We're looking forward to growing it more and producing more content. And so this has just been a really great time to cover topics. So again, thank you for listening to the show. My name is Jonathan Steele. Thank you for listening to Could You Be More Specific? Definitely follow the Stay Well podcast, and I look forward to talking to you guys real soon. Have a good one.